seated. God's name is exalted. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find with me the book of Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, as we continue our sermon series on the one another passages of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10. And as you already know, I love baseball. And I am a Nationals fan, and I was super excited on Tuesday night when they punched their ticket to the World Series. And I love going to baseball games. And I actually happened to be there on Tuesday night, and I still have a voice. It's amazing. But also, I had the opportunity to go to Brady Hull's Little League game yesterday, and they won at the last inning. It was great. I had a great time being there for the Little League game, and I love baseball. I love baseball. I heard a story about a guy who happened to show up at a Little League field, and he walked up to the field there, and he noticed that the score was 18 to nothing. 18 to nothing. That's not very good, all right? That's not very good in football or baseball, right? So it's 18 to nothing. And so he walks over to one of the kids who, was on the team, and he looked at the boy and said, man, I saw the score, 18 to nothing. He said, you don't look very discouraged. He said, I don't understand. You don't look very discouraged. And the little boy looked up at him and he said, I'm not discouraged at all. He said, we haven't got up to bat yet. They still had time. That little boy wasn't discouraged. He was encouraged because he still had the bat. You know, today we're talking about encouragement. Today we're talking about encouragement. There are lots of one another passages of Scripture in the Bible, and we've already looked at some of them together over the last several weeks. And today we're going to talk about encouragement because I believe that everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs to be encouraged. And we can read through the Bible, and we know that the Bible has lots to say about encouragement. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is a man by the name of Barnabas. And Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. You read about him in the book of Acts. What's interesting about him is that was not his given name. His parents didn't name him Barnabas. In fact, the Bible tells us his given name was Joseph. But because Barnabas was such an encourager, he became known as Barnabas, which the word Barnabas means son of encouragement. When I was a student at James Madison several years ago, I was involved in the Baptist Student Union, and we had at that time what we called the Barnabas Ministry. It was a ministry of encouragement. Sometimes you would go to your mailbox. I know they don't go to mailboxes anymore, but we would go to our mailbox and we would find a card inside of our mailbox, a card of encouragement, and it would often be signed by Barnabas. People wouldn't give their real name. They were just encouraging you, and they would sign it Barnabas just to give a word of encouragement. You read through the book of Acts. Barnabas was always doing something encouraging, and probably the most well-known thing that he did occurs in Acts chapter 9. Think about it for just a moment. There is the apostle Paul. Actually, at the time, it was Saul. Saul had just been saved, radically saved, transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ as he's on that Damascus road. God changes his name from Saul to Paul, and then he decides he's going to come into the church in Jerusalem. And he doesn't get a very welcoming committee, does he? I mean, can you imagine? He comes into that church and everybody looks at him and says, wow, there is the persecutor of Christians. Let's just roll out the red carpet and welcome him in. That's not what happened. In fact, when we read through the book of Acts, what happens is they looked at Saul and they said, we don't want him to be a part of our church. And that's where Barnabas comes in. Barnabas comes alongside of Paul. And Barnabas stands up for Paul. And Barnabas says, why don't we take this man in? Let's invite him in and allow him to be a part of the church. Barnabas stood up for Paul when no one else would. Barnabas was a person of encouragement. In Acts chapter 15, we also read another passage of Scripture where it talks about the man by the name of Mark. Mark had left Paul and Barnabas during their first preaching journey. He had just deserted them. And in Acts chapter 15, Barnabas stands up for Mark when Paul did not want to take him with him. They were getting ready to go out on another missionary journey, and Mark's there, and Paul says, I don't want Mark to be a part of this missionary journey. And so Barnabas says, yeah, let's have him be a part of it. Let's get him involved. Let's invite him back in. And so that's what happens. You know, we all need encouragement, don't we? I need some encouragement right now because y'all look sad. I mean, I don't know if it's the rain outside or what, but y'all look sad. We need encouragement this morning. We need to be encouraged by God. Of course, we know what the opposite of encouragement is, don't we? The opposite is discouragement. Has anybody here ever met somebody who has the gift of discouragement? You know, the gift, the spiritual gift of discouragement. You know, I've met some people like that. When somebody talks, the only thing that comes out of their mouth is something that's negative. The only thing that comes out of their mouth is something that's discouraging. And hope and joy is dashed every time they open up their mouth. It's always a complaint. It's always discouragement. It's always frustration. And it's kind of the old Eeyore attitude, you know? It's the Eeyore attitude. And that's not what we are supposed to be towards one another. We are to encourage one another. We're to build one another up. Not only should we consider the example of Barnabas, though, let's also think about Jesus. You know, Jesus is a great example of encouragement, isn't he? He sure is. I want you to think about a couple of scenarios, and you know these well, but just think for a moment about the Samaritan woman. The woman that Jesus met at the well, and he begins to talk to her, and he finds out she has a sinful mess of a life. I mean, if there's anyone who could have been discouraged, it was her. But Jesus talks to her, and we know that she left that situation encouraged. How do we know that? Because she goes back to her own village and she is a changed person. He changed her entire attitude, her entire life, simply by encouraging her. Consider the woman that was caught in adultery. She comes into the situation there. The religious leaders are casting stones at her. They're getting ready to stone her to death. And what does Jesus do? Jesus encourages her. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go from now and sin no more. And then we also think about the sinful woman who entered the Pharisee's house. And there she is weeping over the feet of Jesus. And the Pharisees come and they look at this notoriously sinful woman and they say, get out of the house. And Jesus says, no, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus is a great example. I could go on and on. He's such a great example of encouragement. I think that we can all agree this morning that we could use a little bit more encouragement in our lives. Think about it for just a moment. How often do you and I start out a conversation with a verbal jab versus a verbal encouragement? How often do you start out your conversations with your spouse with a verbal jab versus a verbal encouragement? How often do you start out your conversations with your children or your grandchildren with a verbal discouragement or a verbal encouragement? No, listen, this is so applicable to our lives today. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Look at this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him. Everybody say encourage. Encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Paul says there very simply, we're to encourage others. We're to encourage older men like you would your father. We're to encourage younger men as your brother. We're to encourage older women like you would your mother. And we are to encourage younger women like you would your sister. Yes, friends, we all need encouragement. I want you to think about this. What do you respond well to? Do you respond well to discouragement and open rebuke, or do you respond well to encouragement? I every now and then I'll read a leadership book, and I'll read a leadership book, and that leadership book many times will talk about how encouragement really helps the workforce produce more, because that encouragement, that positive reinforcement, makes all the difference in the world. Let's look at this passage of scripture together this morning, and let's think about how we, as the body of Christ, can encourage one another today. Let's stand together in honor of reading God's Word. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. The author of the book of Hebrews, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the words of encouragement that you give to us. And Father, we thank you that you would help us today to know how we can be encouraging to one another. Help us today, Lord, to know how we can encourage our family, how we can encourage, Lord, our church family, how we can encourage our friends, our neighbors. Lord, help us to know how we can encourage them in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want you to see three ways in which we can encourage one another. Three ways in which we can encourage one another. Verse 22 talks about faith. It talks about faith. You can encourage one another to grow in faith. Now, oftentimes we come to this text, and we come to this text, and oftentimes we read it through this lens. We read it through the lens of "do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." What is ironic about that is that this is a text that is supposed to be an encouragement, not a rebuke. I mean, let's be honest, many times, and I've probably been guilty of this as well, we'll read this passage of Scripture, and we're talking to people about do not resist or do not fail to meet together. Consider how we can stir one another up. Don't miss that. We talk about that, but many times what's happening is the people that are sitting there, they don't need to hear that. It's the ones that aren't there that need to hear that. What this passage is all about, listen, it's about encouragement. I want us to think about this with fresh eyes. Look at verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Everybody say faith. We need to be encouraged in our faith. You know, all of us have a certain measure of faith. We all have a certain measure of faith, a certain type of faith that's built into human nature. We many times will go and we'll eat food taken from a can or a box that we buy in a store with perfect confidence that that is not going to harm us. You mean, many of you don't, you didn't pour your cereal this morning thinking, man, I hope there's no poison in this stuff, right? No, we just assume that it's okay. We just assume, we have faith that it's all been checked out. It's all good. We turn on the water faucet. We pour a glass of water. We drink it without any question that there's something bad in that water. We just have faith that it's okay. We turn on our lights and have faith that the power is going to come on. All those things. We just have this natural instinct for faith. But saving faith, listen, saving faith not only requires a different object, it also requires a different source. And Paul says here that we can have full assurance of faith. Sometimes there are people in our lives who may need encouragement in the area of their faith. You ever met somebody like that? They need encouragement in the area of their faith. Paul and Barnabas, we mentioned them a moment ago, they were church planters. I love church planters. And they were church planters, and they would go different places, and they would plant churches. And the Bible says that they went to places like Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. They would go there. They would plant these churches. These churches were full of baby Christians. They were just learning things about the faith. And what's interesting is, if you read through the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas would oftentimes go back to those early churches that they planted for the purpose of encouraging their faith. Look, if you would, at this verse, Acts chapter 14. The Bible says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made disciples, listen, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. And saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. That tells me that they were going back to those places because those people were experiencing tribulations. Those people were experiencing things that were starting to shake their faith. We sang that song at the very beginning of this service today, right? We will not be shaken. Well, there are things that come into our lives. There are experiences. There are things that come into our lives that shake our faith. You might know somebody right now in this room who's going through something like that. And what do they need? They need encouragement in the faith. Amen? We should not assume that we are all strong in the faith. We should not assume that we are all doing well in the faith. There are people on your pew. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people everywhere who need to be encouraged in their faith with the Lord. Paul also wrote to the Romans. And he wrote to the Romans and he told them that he longed to be with them. And what's interesting is this. He wanted to be with them because they needed mutual encouragement in the faith. Look at this verse, Romans chapter 1. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Isn't that amazing? I mean, we think about the Apostle Paul as some mighty Christian man who's out there winning souls and planting churches and doing all these wonderful things. But the Apostle Paul says, I need encouragement. I want to be mutually encouraged. You can encourage my faith, he says, and I can encourage your faith. Listen, we should all desire to be encouraged in our faith. Do you know somebody today? Is somebody coming to your mind right now that needs to be encouraged in their faith? Is someone coming to your mind right now that you could give a call to, that you could give a text to, that you could write to this coming week and encourage them in their faith? If so, let me encourage you. Don't just sit there and think about it. Let me encourage you to do something about it. Do something about it this week. Encourage someone in their faith. faith. Number two, there's also encouragement to grow in hope. Look at verse number 23. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Is what? Faithful." Everybody say faithful. "He who promised is faithful." The writer of the book of Hebrews says we need to hold fast to the confession of our hope. We need to grow in our hope. Grow in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the hope of who Jesus is. Grow in the hope of what Jesus has done for us, because he is faithful. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And this is a passage of scripture that I will often read at funerals. It's not a funeral today, but I want you to read this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Thessalonians, sorry. Thanks for the encouragement. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep," those who have died, "that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with one another." And let's say these words together. "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The Thessalonian Christians understood that Jesus Christ was going to return to take them to heaven. But what they didn't know, what they didn't understand, is what was going to happen to Christians who died before Christ returned. Evidently, some of their Christian friends, brothers, and sisters had already passed since Paul's initial visit to Thessalonica. And so they were concerned about their loved ones' destination. This may seem like an elementary question, but it was a very profound question for those early believers. And so Paul writes to them, and basically he says, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. We don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Why? Because our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ, friends. He is the one who died and rose again on the third day, and one day he is coming again to receive his church unto himself. And he says, encourage one another with these words. You know, it can be pretty discouraging for those who lose hope. I mean, let's just be honest. It can be discouraging. You know, that little boy playing baseball, he could have been pretty discouraged. He could have lost hope. What about us? You know, we go through difficult things in our lives, and it may seem like things aren't getting any better. You know, it may seem like things aren't improving. We can begin to lose hope. Let me encourage you this morning to think about maybe people that you know who need to be encouraged in the hope of the gospel. People that you know that need to be encouraged in the hope that only Jesus Christ can provide. You see, there's a lot of people today who are searching for hope, but they're searching for hope in all the wrong places, right? They're searching for hope in a relationship. They're searching for hope in a bottle. They're searching for hope in all these different places. But the only hope that is going to truly satisfy is the hope found in Jesus Christ. And so who comes to mind this morning? Someone who needs to be encouraged in hope. Finally, number three. You know what the last one is, don't you? Faith, hope, and love. It's right there. You can circle those words in your Bible. Verse 23, verse 22 is faith. Verse 23 is hope. And verse 24 and 25 is love. Let us consider. The word consider means to give careful thought to. It means to be intentional. Let us be intentional. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The writer of the book of Hebrews says that we should consider, think about, be intentional about how we can encourage one another to love and good works. And he says there, one of the ways that you can do that is by not neglecting to meet together. Whenever we meet together as the body of Christ to encourage one another, that's one of the ways that we can show love and encourage love towards one another. This morning we are thinking about how we can stir each other up to love and good works. How can I help you grow in love and good works? How can you help me grow in love and in good works? What can I do to promote love in another person? You see, friends, the church is to be an atmosphere that when we come in these doors, we are ready to give encouragement in hope, faith, hope, and love to others. And also, I think it's important that we're ready to receive the same towards us. You see, we are coming to every meeting considering how we are going to do that for one another. How would that change your atmosphere? How would that change your understanding of the church if you thought to yourself, and when I get ready for church this morning, who can I encourage? Who can I share a word of encouragement with? Maybe there's somebody in your Sunday school class who needs to be encouraged in their faith. Maybe there's somebody on your pew who needs to be encouraged in their hope. Maybe there's someone that you know who needs to be encouraged in this idea of love. The question is, how is it going to happen? How do we encourage one another? Well, I think the obvious way is with words. I mean, that seems kind of obvious, but it's got to be said. And by the way, words matter. Words matter. You know the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me? That's a lie. It's a lie. Words do matter. And the words that you say to one another will either encourage somebody or they will discourage somebody. So let me encourage you today to think about ways in which you can stir one another to love and good works. Well, we think about this being Compassion Day, Compassion Sunday. And I guarantee you that every one of those sponsor children, when they receive a letter in the mail from one of us in America, I guarantee you they get encouraged. I mean, they get encouraged to see that and to know that somebody else out there that they may or may not ever meet is praying for them and is encouraging them to stay in the fight. To stay with it, to stay with the Lord. And that's one very practical way that we can encourage someone else. So again, think about, pray about being a sponsor. But another very practical way this morning that we can encourage one another is by doing what we've just talked about doing. Now, on the inside aisle of the pew, there are some cards. I want you to take one of those cards and pass them down the aisle. All right, so that everybody should have one. I know we printed about 550, and I know there's not 550 here today because it's raining. And so there should be enough there for everybody in the sanctuary to have a card. All right, just take one out, pass it down the aisle. Now, hopefully you have a writing instrument, all right? Hopefully you have a pen or a pencil or some lipstick or something you can write with. Okay, something you can write with. All right, I want this to be a very practical sermon this morning. I want it to be a very practical sermon. I don't want us to just hear a sermon, stand and sing a song and go home. No, I want this to be practical. And so here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And then our team is going to come and they're going to play some music. We're not going to sing right now. They're going to play some music. And I want you to write a word of encouragement to someone. Maybe somebody in this room, doesn't necessarily have to be, but maybe somebody in this room. Maybe somebody else that you know who needs encouragement in one of those three areas. But I want you to take what we've heard today and I want you to make it practical. And do it this morning. All right? So let me pray for you. And then our team's going to come and play while you write your words of encouragement. God, thank you so much for the encouragement that you have given to us in the name and the person of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would help us today to take what we have heard and apply it to our lives. Take what we've heard, Lord, and make a difference in someone else's life. Father, I pray that you'd help us right now, Lord, to think about someone that we know who needs to be encouraged. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be that encouragement to them as we pray and as we think about encouraging one another this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.